All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Keeling's Corner. We missed you last week, but we're back this week. You know, we got the big game in 2 weeks, so they don't want to miss it. We got the AFC and NFC Championship games this week. I'm looking forward to it. It should be an exciting weekend. What about you, Mike?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, these games are going to be good. You got the divisional battle from the NFC East with Washington and Philadelphia, and then you have that huge game late at night. I mean, I'm sure CBS has got to love this, that they get Kansas City and Buffalo in primetime. Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid.
You couldn't have asked for a better game.
Oh my
you really
God.
Couldn't have asked for a better game.
No.
I mean, the NFL is they're very low. I mean, I don't know. I've seen some things where the refs are favoring Kansas City because of Taylor Swift, and, you know, the NFL wants.
You want Kansas City, yeah. I mean, you know, the Kansas City is like a Hollywood team right now, right? I mean, they got Taylor Swift there. They had Caitlin Clark in the stands last week. They had,
you know, all of a sudden Caitlin Clark is
a Kansas City fan.
Yeah, I was watching that on ESPN. Molly Kierum claims that Caitlin Clark has always been a Chiefs fan, but, you know, Stephen A. Smith was like, I ain't never heard of that before. So it's a little interesting. A lot of people are jumping on the bandwagon, but Kansas City, they got you know, the best quarterback in the game. They had the best tight end in the game. Mm-hmm. So it's
I mean, they're kind of like the Dallas Cowboys, you know, of the '90s. You know, when they were, you know,
which is crazy. See their streak of not making it to the NFC Championship game.
They have the longest streak.
The
right
longest
now.
Streak by like 24 years.
The memes were fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty embarrassing.
It is embarrassing.
It is. It's embarrassing. It's almost as embarrassing as the Steelers making the playoffs, I mean, you know, like six of the last 10 years not winning a game.
The amount of money Dallas has poured into, like, free agency
and they haven't even done it right,
coaches,
though.
And they've done terrible.
Like, Derrick Henry should have been on the Dallas Cowboys this year.
Yeah.
He just should have been.
Absolutely. I mean, they've been a mess for a long time. But I'm really looking forward to this one. I mean, let's start with Washington and Philadelphia. I mean, you got probably – obviously, the rookie of the year in Jaden Daniels. You got a guy who I think could easily be coach of the year in Dan Quinn. I mean, think about where this guy's been a couple years ago. Like, people were like, why would you hire Dan Quinn? You know, he lost the big game years ago against New England.
See, but I think he's a terrible coach.
You think so?
When it comes to managing, I think the key here was Kingsbury. The key here was Cliff Kingsbury. He's so much better as a coordinator than he is as a head coach because he can focus just on the offense. I really do think that if you put another offensive coordinator on that team, I don't think they're where they are right now. I think the play calling matters. Kingsbury had a guy similar to Daniels and Kyler Murray in Arizona.
Yeah.
So it's like he knows how to work with that skill set. He's getting the best out of Daniels. And quite frankly, I think Quinn is an awful game manager. I mean, there was some questionable things that I saw him do in the previous two games.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was a long time ago, so I can't remember off the top of my head. I just remember sitting here saying, I was just scratching my head, like, really? He's not using a timeout here or whatever it was. He was with Atlanta, right?
Yeah, he was with Atlanta for a long time.
He wasn't that great in Atlanta. Yeah.
He managed that big game team
And
they blew the game. They were up 20-3 against New England, and of course, New England came all the way back. It became a meme forever, of course. Obviously, you know, 20-3. And I think, you know, I'll give Quinn credit for this. He repaired his image quickly in Dallas as a defensive coordinator. And you think Dallas is kicking itself that they didn't make him their head coach?
I guess now that McCarthy's gone.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting to see how, like, you kind of want, like, the Jets just hired Aaron Glenn.
Right.
Right? So it's like, we're in an offensive-minded league, right? The Jets have struggled on offense for how long? Many years, right?
Right.
That's been the Jets' Achilles heel.
Right.
It's why they haven't been able to make it back to the AFC Championship game in about 14 years.
I don't know if it's, you know, just the offense. I think it's just an overall team, you know, management.
Yeah, but there's been years where their defense has been the best in football.
True.
And their offense hasn't been able to keep up.
Right.
I mean, they haven't had a quarterback. And you go out, and instead of hiring an offensive-minded guy, instead of going after a guy like Ben Johnson, you go after Aaron Glenn, who's defensive-minded, kind of like Robert Saleh was. It kind of reminds me of the Robert Saleh hiring. It does.
Here's why I'll say it isn't. Because Aaron Glenn comes from a little bit more of a disciplined background, whereas Saleh, I mean, when Saleh was hired, everyone got excited about him because here's the guy screaming on the sideline, you know, veins popping out of his head in San Francisco. And really, he was kind of a cipher. They really didn't know what his, you know, philosophy was. And when he came here, we found out he really didn't have a philosophy. It was just like all gas, no break. It was all these kind of fancy words and terms. And Glenn is, you know, he comes from this, you know, you're coming out of the Parcells tree, you're coming out of the Sean Payton tree. I'm optimistic. I'm not sitting here saying, yeah, let's, you know, pull up banners. Jets are going to, you know, the playoffs next year. But I'm optimistic about the hire. Yes, they got a lot of problems. You know, the front office, as far as that's concerned, player procurement, the quarterback situation, they got a long way to go, obviously. And, yeah, I get it. It's an offensive league, and you want to focus on offense. If, let's say, he brings in Clint Kubiak or Josh McCown, is that going to change people's opinions? I think it might. You know, if he gets a good offensive coordinator and it's part of this revolution of, you know, offense, spread offense and RPOs, it's going to change people's minds. So I'm optimistic. I say give it a chance. And
so then who's the quarterback?
Right now,
who would you want? Knowing everything that you just said right now, who would you want a quarterback?
Considering the free agency that's out there right now, I would be curious about Justin Fields. Curious. But I don't know if the Steelers let him go. He is a free agent.
Well, they better not bring Russell Wilson back.
Yeah.
So, I mean, could Russell Wilson go to the Jets for a year? I guess.
He could.
I guess, right?
He could.
Have the receivers. They have the running back. I mean, they have arguably the best receiving duo in the league.
Yeah.
And they have a top three running back. Yeah. So it's like, you're missing that piece. If you get a good play caller and you put Russell Wilson in that offense with Adams and Wilson and Hall, he's going to be good.
He should be.
He is. He's going to be good. Like I said, I think the play calling matters. Go out and get an offensive-minded coordinator.
A big offensive coordinator.
Go get Bieniemy.
Yeah, you could do
that. Go get Bieniemy. I mean, look at what he did. I mean, listen, he made Sam Howell look pretty darn good in Washington. Mm-hmm. So,
I mean, the one knock on Bieniemy was that he didn't call plays in Kansas City. That was the only knock on him. But.
Yeah, but I don't know if he didn't call plays or not in Kansas City. Did Andy Reid come out and say, yeah, I called the plays?
I mean, it's pretty obvious. He's got this huge menu in front of his
face. Yeah, but to think that Bieniemy doesn't have
some influence. I mean, he had
some influence in that. I don't know.
He had some. But, yeah, they have to find a offensive coordinator. And, like all these teams, think about this. Even Detroit, let's take a look at the Lions, right, where he came from, Detroit. Dan Campbell, yeah, he was a tight end. I guess you could say from that standpoint he's known for offense, but do you really look at him as being like this bright offensive mind? No, it's about the coaches you put around him.
Dan Campbell's going to be the reason why the Lions never win the big game.
Well, he makes a lot of mistakes in game.
He does.
He makes a lot of mistakes in
game. He doesn't take points.
Yeah.
Like, listen, I get it. You want to go for it on fourth down, you know, more times than not. You know, if that's what the analytics say, congratulations. If you want to be an analytics person, you know, analytics to me ruin baseball. It's probably going to continue to ruin football. But when you're in the playoffs and you're trying to win the big game, you have to take the points when they're there, unless it's less than two yards or unless you're inside the 10. Like if you're at the 31 and it's a fourth and four, take the points.
Yeah.
Like just take the points. It's part of the reason why they lost. It is. It's part of the reason why they lost.
Mm-hmm.
And it's part of the reason why they'll continue to lose until they do that.
Yeah. Well, they may be on the downside now because you lose all those coaches.
Yep, exactly. Their window might have just closed.
It may have shut right on them. I mean, Ben Johnson's gone. Aaron Glenn's gone. There's talk about, I think, Fairley, the offensive line coach. He may go. I think there was talk. He was going to Chicago.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're going to they're going to lose a lot.
And who knows how this is going to affect Jared Goff after doing it now, you know. Blowing the game.
He signed a big contract last year.
He did.
He did. And they're going to be like, they're turning on him fast. Like, wait a minute, is this the Goff that we remember from Los Angeles, or is this the Goff that we saw last year?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's interesting now because everyone thought, oh, yeah, both teams won the trade, the Goff trade. No, they didn't. I don't know.
LA won that trade.
Looking back at it now, I mean, listen, 3 weeks ago you would have said, yeah, it was an even trade because everyone thought the Lions were going to win the big game, but nope.
And the Rams got the bling, and the Lions got nothing.
Yeah, literally nothing.
Literally nothing. But, I mean, it's interesting how this coaching cycle is broken down. I mean, what do you think about Ben Johnson going to Chicago? I mean, he's really a quirky personality, right? I mean, he's got a lot of confidence, got some bravado. He's taking shots at Green Bay.
You better back it up.
I mean,
he better back it up.
A little bit of Rex Ryan in him there.
You better back it up. That's all I'm going to say. You don't talk all of that and then not back it up. Because would it surprise me if the Bears went out and were 4-12 or 4-13 next year? Absolutely not. No. It just wouldn't. I mean, they play in a tough division.
Yeah.
We still don't know what Ben Johnson is as a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we know he's going to be able to call plays. Caleb Williams should look better. Will he? I don't know. I don't think he's that good, to be honest with you. I think he holds on to the ball way too long. I think he's very inaccurate. Yeah, he can make the flashy plays, but so does Justin Fields.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Fields did the same thing in Chicago. So it's like, I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to, you know, shoot him down until, you know, I see what he does. But all I'm saying is that we've seen coordinators leave and take head coaching jobs and talk all that and then stink.
Yeah. I mean, it does happen. Hey, look, I know people make a big deal about offensive coordinators and defensive coordinators. To me, it's about what kind of football coach are you? What kind of leader are you? Not just the whole leader of men thing. I mean, like, how can you manage the entire organization, that part of the organization, players, your coaches? Do you get good coaches to come with you and, you know, yeah, put together a good staff?
A lot more. You have to worry about a lot more things. You know, it's,
yeah,
it's, I don't want to say it's easy, but it is easy when you specifically just have to call,
yeah,
you know, offensive plays.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to worry about the defense and what the defense is doing. It's a completely other story. I mean, now you got to worry about both. Now you got to worry about special teams. You know, now you got to worry about if this guy's acting up, you got to take care of it. You know, you got to manage the locker room. You got to handle the press more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot more that comes into being a head coach than it does a coordinator. And it's why guys like Cliff Kingsbury said when he originally left Arizona, you know, that he wanted to step away from football for a little bit and he didn't want to be a head coach when he came back.
And he doesn't seem too interested in getting another head coach job right now.
No, he doesn't. Why would you?
Why? He's got a rookie of the year, possible MVP next year.
Exactly. And you're getting paid. Like, yeah, you're getting paid a lot of money regardless. Okay, you've already been paid as a head coach. Why do you want all that nonsense?
Yeah.
You know,
He could spend the next 5 years as the coordinator in Washington.
Absolutely.
And watch that team light it up every single year and, you know, just build up that resume. And when he's ready, he can go back and be a head coach again.
Absolutely. And you know what? Washington is probably going to make big moves this offseason at the wide receiver position.
Oh.
He's going to get Daniel some weapons. They're going to get Daniel some weapons.
Devontae Adams might be available.
Devontae Adams. Yeah. No, he's
sick.
Definitely going to be available.
I think
I think Garrett Wilson is going to get traded. I think they both might wind up traded.
Mm, we'll see.
I mean, I could see a lot of teams willing to offer a second-round pick for, you know, Wilson at this point.
We'll see. It's gonna be. I mean, I know the Jets are interviewing GM candidates today. It was kind of weird because they typically you want to hire your GM first before your head coach, and they brought in Lance Newmark to go in with Glenn. Apparently, that didn't go too well.
Like, when have the Jets done anything right ever?
Well,
seriously, when have they done anything right?
Well,
never. They haven't.
Never.
So
it's been a long time. Yeah.
This doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Nothing they do surprises me at this point.
Yeah.
They may sign a quarterback before, you know, the big game's over. What general managers hired.
Exactly.
Would that surprise you?
No.
Absolutely not.
No.
So
it's a weird situation. Speaking of weird situations, look at Jacksonville. Look at what's going on in Jacksonville. They keep Trent Baalke. They start doing their coaching search. They try to bring in Liam Cohen. He's like, I don't want to work with that guy. This guy's nuts. And all of a sudden, Shad Khan's like, you know what? I think we're going to fire. We're going to fire Trent Baalke. And now they're
talking about a dumpster fire because they also have Trevor Lawrence on contract for a very long time for a lot of money. So
it's so bad down here in Jacksonville. That might be the worst situation of all teams right now.
The worst situation of all teams right now.
It's probably Jacksonville. You got an owner who seems kind of clueless. You got, you know, GM who was kind of hanging over that franchise. Now he's gone. Now they start from scratch.
Jacksonville and Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, really? You think Pittsburgh?
What good position is Pittsburgh in? They're in the worst position possible because they're never going to be able to get that franchise guy at the top of the draft. And it's been like that for 10 years. So that's a bad position to be in. I'm sorry. And mm-hmm. you have an owner that doesn't make changes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like it's insanity. You're doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. So for their fans, okay, out from the outside looking in, if you're a Giants fan and you're watching the Steelers play, right, and mm-hmm. you're seeing what they do every year, oh, they're 10-7. You know, they're making the playoffs, they're doing this, they're doing that. It looks good, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when you're actually in it, okay, and you know that you have no chance and you know you're not going to have a top three pick, it's like it sucks.
Yeah.
It just sucks. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it, and it's been like that for 10 years. So, yes, I would rather suck. I think it's worse to be in the Steelers position than it is to be in a position like New England. You know, I'd rather pick at the top of the draft and get the Drake May. You know, I'd rather pick, you know, at the top of the draft to get Daniels than pick 21, take Kenny Pickett, or pick 21, take Najee Harris, right? And then run it back with the same system over and over again. It's not a coincidence that Duck Hodges, Mason Rudolph, and Kenny Pickett were able to go 10-7 the same way Wilson and Fields were.
Oh.
It's a system. It doesn't matter who you put in there until you make changes on the coaching front. And I'm not talking about just Tomlin. He's just got to change his philosophy. You got to hire the right coordinators. I'm sorry, bringing in Arthur Smith and then going to Russell.
That was a bad hire.
It was a bad hire because they switched from Fields to Wilson.
Yeah.
Right? Arthur Smith, what does he do? He runs RPOs and he runs play action, mm-hmm. right? So Wilson at this point in his career is not going to be able to run, you know, RPOs and play actions as good as he was because the threat of him running isn't there, mm-hmm. all right? You took away Arthur Smith's main weapon, which was a running quarterback,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's like, all right, if you're going to hire Smith, at least give him the weapon that he wants at the quarterback position because mm-hmm. there was rumors coming out of the Steelers locker room at the end of the year that, you know, Smith did not want Wilson, you know, manning, you know, the ball in the center. But they're just, right now, they feel like, I don't even know if I'm allowed to say it, so I'm not going to say it, a half-butt organization. All right? That's mm-hmm. what they feel.
Wow. I mean, that's a hell of a takedown of the Steelers. But you know what? You're frustrated. I can understand that.
No, it's true.
They've been bad for the last 3 or 4 years now.
You're a Jets fan, but what are you excited for every year?
What am I excited for?
What are you excited for every offseason? You have a top pick, right? You usually are picking in the front of the draft.
I mean, am I excited about the draft? Not really. I mean, all right, I'm curious. But, I mean, I'm at least curious about it. I wouldn't say I'm excited.
But
I mean,
there's a chance that you can get your next, like, elite player, right? I mean, you've taken 3 quarterbacks in the top 10 over the past, you know, how many years?
Oh, it's more like 4. I mean, they've taken a lot
right.
of quarterbacks.
So at least you've come into the season with the, you know, hope, expectation of, okay, is Sam Darnold the guy? Okay, is Zach Wilson the guy?
Well, I knew Zach Wilson wasn't the guy from the minute.
Really?
So I knew that was going to be a disaster.
Yeah, I mean.
You could see it coming from a mile away. I mean, you really could. I mean, everyone's like, oh my God, look at this guy. And he's like 5'10". He's like, look at this guy, he's zipping the ball around the field. I'm like, this guy's not a quarterback. Look at this, he's so small. I mean, it makes Kyler Murray look like a giant, but you know, who am I? But you know, it didn't work out, as we all know. But, oh, it was so terrible when they drafted him. I knew it was going to be bad. You could see it coming. But speaking of seeing something coming, let's switch it over very quickly to baseball because I know you want to do a little bit of that.
Oh, yes, yeah. Definitely.
The Mets baseball. And Pete Alonso still doing this dance of not
Alonso's going to the Blue Jays.
You think so? Well, they just signed Santander to a 5-year deal.
He's going there.
You think so?
He's going there.
So Santander's going to play. Is going to be in the outfield, right?
Yes.
He could do a little bit of DH.
Vladdy's going to go to third, and it's going to help his free agency next year because he's going to say that he could play 2 different positions. Right, Alonso's going to be at first. They're going to have Bichette at short, mm-hmm. right? And then, I don't know.
You really think so? You really think they're going to splurge on Alonso?
I do. And,
wow.
And if they do that, if they can find a way to get a pitcher at the trade deadline, they might be the best team in the American League East.
Better than your team? Better than the Yankees?
Yeah, the Yankees. Listen.
Better than
the
Yankees right now?
The Yankees are better than they were last year, right? But,
I mean, they got some age there. That's like, you know, concerns as far as like Goldschmidt is concerned, you know, and Bellinger. But still, you know,
Goldschmidt doesn't concern me. I know really? What Goldschmidt's going to give me. Goldschmidt's going to give me 20 to 25 home. He's going to knock in 70 to 80 runs,
okay.
And he's going to hit 250 to 270. I know that's what he's going to do. He's done it every year. You know, guys sometimes age gracefully. Now he's on a better team, a team with expectations, so it might be able to, you know, pull the last ounce of baseball that they have, you know, left in him.
Yeah.
And Bellinger's only 29.
I mean, as far as Toronto, it feels like we do this with Toronto every year.
Yeah, it's where it feels like, oh, this is their year.
This is their year, and like it never pans out.
But they miss out on a lot of guys. They wanted Ohtani, they didn't get him. They wanted Soto, they didn't get him. They wanted Burns, they didn't get him. They wanted Freed, they didn't get him. You know, they want all these guys, and no one goes there. So now they got their plan probably D guy in Santander. And I think Alonso, I'm telling you, put Alonso and Vladdy in the same lineup.
Well, they're going to hit a lot of home runs.
Watch out.
They're going to hit a lot of home runs.
Watch out. I would be very, very scared if I was, you know, a Yankee fan if Pete Alonso goes to
Toronto.
Well, to Toronto,
it would certainly be interesting. But as far as the Mets are concerned, look, they're not as good right now as they were a year ago. Obviously,
on
paper,
they're not.
The thing that concerns me, obviously, more than just losing Alonso with them is, I don't think they have enough pitching, especially in the bullpen. I know they got Minter; that was a solid addition. You get someone. They need a body. I know he's not.
Yes,
Tanner Scott.
They needed somebody.
They needed a body in there. They need more. They need another starting pitcher.
But not just a starting pitcher.
They need a frontline starting pitcher.
Like they needed Burns, and then they didn't get him.
Nope.
You know, everyone praised, you know, Cohen for going out and getting Soto, but he literally did nothing else.
No.
Like nothing.
Well, he's put everything in David Stern's hands. He's like, okay, you run it now. And, you know, I think part of it is that Cohen's so, as you said, butthurt for the Steelers. He's butthurt over what happened with him, with Verlander and Scherzer spending like $40 million apiece on 2 aging starters. he's probably like, I don't know if I want to spend that much on starting pitching now, which is not good.
No, it's not good, especially because Burns is only 30 or 31.
He doesn't want to get burned again.
Yeah, no pun intended.
No pun intended, exactly.
But I don't know. If you want to win a World Series, you're going to have to go out and get a frontline starting pitcher, whether it's – and I don't think Luis Castillo is that guy, but he's better than what you got.
Yeah.
So if, go make a trade for him or go do something. Like, how can you, as a Met fan, walk into this year and say, all right, we lost Alonso, we got Soto, we did nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I going to beat the Dodgers, who just got
– they're getting everybody.
Everybody.
They're signing everybody right now.
Literally everybody. So it's like – Met fan, and would you say the Mets overachieved last year? Because I would.
I would say in to a degree, yeah, they did.
So let's say that overachievement comes back down to earth, and they did exactly what they were supposed to do last year. This year.
Yeah, 75-90-80 win team. Yeah.
But you have Soto, so that might make up the difference of a couple of games. Okay, so boom, you win 90
but
games.
But it's even more disappointing because you have Soto, who's supposedly be the quote-unquote one of the best players in baseball.
Yes, and Soto's talking a lot of crap, saying, oh, New York's a Mets town now, you know, this and that. He feels like, oh, there's a better chance to win a championship in New York with the Mets than he does with the Yankees. And, you know, when guys talk, you know, like that, and so, it sometimes comes back to bite you.
It does.
It comes back to bite you. I mean, that's and now he's on the Mets. And I'm not saying anything about the Mets, but I'm just saying, it's like, if something's going to happen, it usually happens to the Mets. The Mets get the superstar, he talks all the crap, they never win.
Well, what hurts him right now is the fact that he has nobody hitting behind him. I mean, I know Vientos is good.
Yep, he doesn't have Judge anymore.
He doesn't have Judge anymore. And look, Vientos may end up being a 35 home run hitter. I have no idea. He had a great year last year.
Yeah, he could.
Great year. But he's not Aaron Judge. He's not Pete Alonso. And he's, you know, you don't have that kind of player.
No one fears him.
No.
No one fears him the way they feared Aaron Judge. Like, I mean, Soto should go to Aaron Judge and give him half his contract.
Exactly.
Or at least a couple $1 million.
You know what Judge would do? Say, no, I'm good, man. He would turn it down. He wouldn't.
I mean, Judge turned down $160 million more dollars from the Padres to stay with the Yankees.
Yeah.
You know, I talk down on Judge a lot because of what he does in the playoffs and, you know, especially what he did in the fifth inning of the World Series. But, you know, he wanted to be a Yankee, so he's here.
I gotta ask you quickly, though, because I'm just kind of shift really quick. How are you feeling about now that your Nets have now lost 31 games, you're feeling pretty good now about your chances at the lottery?
No.
No?
No.
Feeling pretty good about the draft anyway?
No. No. I have no hope.
No hope?
I have no hope. They still, I'm pretty sure, are like six games up on four of the top teams, something like that. The lottery system, thumbs down.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to bash anybody, but, you know, I mean, the way things are going with Rutgers, Ace Bailey and Dylan Harper, they were supposed to be the two of the top players. Yeah. They may end up dropping in that draft, so you never know.
It's possible. I mean, Cooper Flagg, though, has been everything that he's been, you know, painted to be. He's a stud. Wish the Nets could get him, but it's probably not going to happen. Okay. I still think the Nets wind up with Giannis, but
we'll see.
I think this offseason the Nets are going to load up on picks and go get Giannis. That's what I think. Yeah. I also think the Nets are going to trade Cam Johnson and going to get a couple more first-round picks.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Nets are going to wind up – I mean, they should release D'Angelo Russell because he's too good to be on a tanking team, but
– they could flip him for somebody. Just flip him for
I don't know if they can trade him because they just traded for him.
Yeah.
I don't know the rules. I don't know the rules of that. I know it used to be that you had to wait 60 days to be able to trade him. I mean, I don't know. Maybe
– you might be able to trade him by March. I mean, wait, the deadline's coming up fast.
February.
Yeah, February.
I think it's like February 12th or something.
Yeah,
like
it's going to be tough. You can be stuck with him for the rest of the year.
Yeah, but you know what? I wouldn't mind bringing him back.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't. I mean, he's 30, but, like, it depends on the direction of the Nets. If you get Giannis, if you're able to get Giannis, bring him back.
Mm-hmm.
Let him be your point guard. Right?
Why not? All right. We got only 4 minutes to go, my man. Let's do these picks.
All right.
Championship Sunday. Let's do it.
All right. So, in the first game, we got Washington versus
Philadelphia.
Who you got?
All right. I would love to take Washington, but I'm going to have to roll with Philadelphia. The experience, they're at home. It's going to be Saquon Barkley again, who I think is going to have another big performance. And for some reason, I just got a funny feeling Washington's just going to have that kind of game where they make a big mistake in the second half, and it's going to come back and cost them. I'm taking Philadelphia.
I'm going to go with Washington. I think Washington finds a way to get it done.
All right, really?
Yeah, I think Washington finds a way to get it done. I think they remind me of the Giants when they went on their big game run. So that's what I'm rolling with. I think Daniels, it's early,
mm-hmm.
All right? It's early, so I don't want to make, you know, any accusations here, but Daniel's better than Hurts.
I think that's fair.
I think Hurts. I agree with that. I think Hurts fits his system.
I agree with that.
I do. I think like if you put Hurts on the Steelers, they might win one extra game.
Mm-hmm. You put Daniels on the on Pittsburgh. Watch out.
I don't know. I don't. No? I don't think they would let him do anything.
You don't think they would handcuff him?
They would. They would win 10, 11 games. They would, and that's why I'm frustrated with the Steelers because it doesn't matter who you could put Mahomes there. Mm-hmm. Seriously, you could put Mahomes there, and they would run the same offense that they run with Justin Fields and Russell Wilson. So it's like. I have nothing to get excited about.
AFC Championship. We can get excited about this one. Buffalo and Kansas City. This is a tough one for me because part of me wants to see Kansas City lose because it's been, you know, too much.
It would be great to see history, though.
It would be nice to see history.
But I'm rooting for...
I'm kind of rooting for Buffalo, but I don't want to root for Buffalo at the same time.
I don't know. It's hard for you because you're a Jets fan.
Yeah. I'm going to roll with Kansas City. We're going to get the rematch from a few years ago with Kansas City and Philadelphia. I'm going to go roll with KC to win this one.
I think Buffalo blows them out.
Whoa!
I think Buffalo blows them out. Unless the NFL doesn't let it happen. Yeah. But I think if they actually just played, I think Buffalo would win, I'm going to say 31-14 or 31-17.
Can you imagine if Buffalo just goes into Kansas City and just rolls right over them?
Well, they did in the regular season. Did KC go to Buffalo?
Yeah, KC went to Buffalo. But did it go all the way to Kansas City in the championship game and then roll over
I mean, them? It's a stupid prediction because Mahomes has never gotten blown out and he probably never will. I mean, Buffalo better blow them out because if they keep it close, Mahomes is going to make a play and win the game.
Of course.
So if I think Buffalo's going to win.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to predict that Buffalo blows them out because I don't think Buffalo can win a close game.
That's fair.
That's why I say blowout.
Yeah. I mean, Kansas City has lost this game before. They lost to New England and lost to Cincinnati. So they've been here before.
It's possible. I'm not saying it's going to be like a 48-7 smash, but two scores.
That'll be amazing.
Double digits.
So you got Washington and Buffalo in the big game.
Yep.
A rematch from 1991.
Long time ago.
Long time ago when Washington was named something else. We won't say that. And of course, we got Philly and Kansas City from just a few years ago. Interesting. That's going to be fun. I'll say this. The one big game matchup that would be off the hook would be Buffalo-Philadelphia because the fans would be crazy.
Yeah, that would be nuts.
That would be nuts.
That'd be interesting. I'd be more interested to see what's
going on in the parking lot than anything else.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I think that'd be a great game. I just hope Hurts is healthy.
Yeah. We'll see.
All right. We run out of time here?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, it was another great episode. We worked around a few things, but... you know, glad we got it done. Mike, thanks for joining me again.
Absolutely, man.
And we'll see you next week, and we'll see who's playing in the big game.
We'll see.
All right. Keeling's Corner. Out.